come on.
We have a situation room report. Can you bring it in? And Mr. Bundy's on 9-1.
Who?
Mr. Bundy?
Yes?
Yes, sir.
Tell us where we are now.
I'll do my best. We're still trying to find out. For example, this minute we are hoping to get more information from one of the important people. I don't want to tell you on an open line who, but we have lots to learn. The message we received this morning, I would like to read to you because it sets the tone of the general problem we are faced with. This is from G to me. I had the obligation to suspend conversations and agreements until there has been a total ceasefire. This is because yesterday, the constitutionalist troops permitted the troops of San Ysidro to penetrate the city. This is a description of the action in the north in their terms, so that the press and the representatives of the United Nations could see for themselves that these advances are protected by the Americans. It is established that the United States is giving arms and munitions and all kinds of military help to the anti-constitutionalist forces. That's not so, incidentally. The troops of San Ysidro and Imbert have been permitted to pass through the line of communication, and in some cases they have even been protected with helicopters. This has obliged me to terminate the conversations and the agreements until a ceasefire has been achieved. That was telephoned by him to us 2 hours ago. We have been considering here what the implications are. We have heard that there were victory celebrations down in rebel headquarters last night. We have further evidence.
Victory about what? What victory?
Victory of the impending agreement.
That wouldn't sound right with this kind of a notice.
I don't understand the relation between last night's notices and the fact that a man who was about to become the President of the Republic would allow himself to be the mouthpiece of a statement which has no relation to his views, no relation to his and my discussions, no relation to the real issues of conversation and agreement, which can only be indicate a responsiveness to the people gathered in that downtown command post that is, at least for the moment, inconsistent with the idea that he is in any position to take control of this country.
I would have thought, I think there's, from their viewpoint, there's something to be said for the message that you received. I can see where they would think that some of these things are happening. I would have thought it would have come from Camaño, though, instead of G.
Well, there are 2 points to be made there, Mr. President. They can, and some of them undoubtedly do believe that some of these things are happening. That's perfectly fair. They also know that they are violating the ceasefire. Last night on the line of communications, I think General Palmer has told us that they had the highest level of incidents from rebels that we have had at any time. Sir? From both the north and the south side of that line, but with rebel fire, as far as we can estimate, in both cases, and we're reasonably confident of that. So that they know both that there is an operation by Imbert, which they do certainly both honestly suspect and exaggerate our own relation. And they also know that they are violating the ceasefire. But, Mr. President, they also know that they are on the point of a basic political agreement. And therefore, the question arises as to who is trying to manage whom. When less than 8 hours after I had a most intimate and serious talk with him about these large issues, He himself telephoned to read someone else's statement. Now, there are other less significant new elements in the situation, but our own feeling here is that there are now a couple of possible courses. One would be for us to indicate that there clearly is no, we do not have yet the kind of basis we had hoped we had, and that it would be necessary for the Washington representatives to return for further instruction and guidance in the light of this kind of thing, and of one or two other things which I can't put on an open line, which have to do with whether those most engaged in the most violent activity downtown would in fact pass under real control of the new government, or the other way around.
What is the objection to our friend trying to check this out through his sources?
I'm not sure I understood who you meant.
Well, the fellow that's been working on this thing all along, on this plan, why shouldn't he ask him what happened?
Mr. Davidson, you mean?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes?
Yes, he should. That is another possibility, that he should go back through his people expressing extraordinary astonishment at an act of this kind and seeking an explanation.
Well, George Ball said this morning that you had said for him to not stay out of contact and make no contact.
Well, I didn't intend to say that, Mr. President, at this stage, no.
Well, we thought we ought to get right in. This sounds like J.B., and we thought we ought to get in there and say, what's happened to you? We were about ready with the statement, wrapping it up, and you blew the whistle.
I think there's advantage in that. Let me mention another possibility. The actual means of establishing a ceasefire would be for us to move U.S. forces into a narrow line of communication running north, roughly along the dividing line between the Imbert forces and the rebel forces, as we now estimate it to be north of the current line of communication. The line which we would propose to move would go on the street that borders the eastern edge of the National Cemetery, would cut all the way through to the river with a hook and a bend toward the bridge, which is called the Peinado Bridge. This would be, in military terms, a precise, accurate, and carefully defined action in direct response to this message. It would in fact give us much greater control both ways in terms of our leverage on both sides, and General Palmer believes that he could execute it with very considerable speed and relatively little risk.